Good evening, family. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast, Destined to Win, beloved. God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are grateful and thankful unto the Lord for this day that He has made. We have rejoiced and been glad in it all day. Can't nobody keep you like Jesus. Hallelujah. We are excited tonight, family, hallelujah, because of this word. There is a word from the Lord tonight. God dealt with me about this word for about 2 weeks. This word has been marinating in my spirit, and He's been adding to it. He's been embellishing on it. We've just been having a conversation. I've been sitting at His feet, hallelujah. Gleaning from His wisdom, His knowledge, and His understanding. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, family. So we welcome you to the broadcast tonight. This is Destined to Win. I am your hostess, Shirley Taylor. I'd like to acknowledge my husband, Ricky Taylor, who's on the road at this time. God bless you, man of God. We love you. We thank God for you. Hallelujah. He just celebrated a birthday, family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we give honor to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God for being God all by Himself. Hallelujah. Besides Him, there is none other. We have come tonight to this call, to this broadcast. We have come listening via the internet, all who are listening via the internet, to lift up the name that's above every name, and that is the name of Jesus, for there's power in that name. For nobody else can do what He does. Nobody else has done what He has done. He shed His own precious blood for all of our sins, past, present, and future, on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago. He came to bring us His Father's word, or our Father's word, hallelujah, the word of life, the spirit and life, hallelujah. It sets the captives free. So tonight, He's going to deal with us tonight from a particular subject. And I'm telling you, I pray that you will receive this word and remember that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For even when God brings us a challenging word, we understand and know that it's for our betterment, it's for our empowerment, it's for us to get it right, hallelujah, and so that we can move forward in the things of God. But this word is going to lift you. It's going to comfort you. It's going to encourage you, and it is going to open up your mind of understanding just a little bit more into who God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. So we're going to jump into the message tonight, family, and I want to start by asking a question. Asking a question. Have you ever known what you wanted to do? Set your goals and did everything in your power to move in that direction. What you knew to be the right path, the path you knew you were on, the right path, the direction the Lord wanted you to go in. But for some reason, you just couldn't get motivated or started. Or even if you did start, hallelujah, it seems that for every one step in the right direction, you were knocked back two steps. Now, there could be several reasons why you, me, we did not or do not show progress or move forward growing spiritually and advancing the kingdom during the time or the season God has ordained for us to. But as of this day, I declare and decree in the mighty name of Jesus that the spirits of hesitation, sabotage, and stagnation, by the power of the word of the Lord, will no longer hinder or halt your progress. Therefore, beloveds, it is my earnest, heartfelt, effectual, and fervent prayer that the Holy Spirit will shed light on and expose every demonic spirit who has come as assignment assassins, destiny blockers, dream stealers, and spiritual abortionists by opening up our mind of understanding as to what it is the Lord wants us to know, so that when the opportunity, your opportunity comes, my opportunity comes, our opportunity comes, hallelujah, hallelujah, the season of advancement and elevation and promotion, that this time around we will be ready, willing, and able by God's grace, be equipped and empowered to move into the things that God has already ordained for us before the foundations. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about that, family. I'm excited that God will deal with whatever is contending against us. He will contend with whatever is contending against us, whatever is trying to hinder us, stop us. God will, the Holy Spirit will deal with those spirits that are not sent by God, that come to try to abort the plan of God. It won't work. The weapon may form, but it will not prosper. It will not work. See, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to do what God wants me to do when he wants me to do it, and to go where God desires to send me. I refuse to keep going around the mulberry bush or staying on the merry-go-round of life like a dog chasing his own tail. You've seen a dog running around in circles trying to catch his tail? No, 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 no. Those days are over. Amen, somebody. Amen. So I dare you to decree and declare, Lord, I need you to hook me up. Say it. Lord, I need you to hook me up. Hallelujah. See, there's only one kind of hookup for the children of God, and that's a Holy Ghost hookup. Any other kind of hookup is a waste of time. And how many of you know we don't have time to waste, because time is winding up as we look around and see all the signs that are upon us now. Though Jesus said the end is still not yet. So that means, brothers and sisters, we still have God-given purpose in us that needs to be fulfilled. We have a destiny to reach and a God we still must glorify every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today, beloveds, the Father wants to take us deeper in the Spirit to reveal the truth that what we see with our natural eyes is not what it appears to be. Hello. Hello. Today we're going to talk about one of the main reasons, or for a better word, a tactic the enemy uses to keep us complacent, distracted, stuck, and in a compromising position. Now, we've got to know our enemy. If you are a child of God, you understand that you are in a war. Daily, you are in a war. And so you have to understand the strategies of your enemy, hallelujah, of our adversary. Glory to God. See, he knows that if he can control this one area we're going to talk about tonight, if he can control this one area of our lives, it could sidetrack our destiny and derail our journey to greatness. His tactic is to keep our blessings at arm's length by not allowing us to apprehend that which we have been apprehended of Christ. That's what Paul says. I've got to reach that thing. I've got to obtain that thing that Christ died that I might have. Hallelujah. See, we have been bought with a price. The very blood of Jesus purchased our souls, purchased all of us, the whole man, mind, body, and spirit. Now, we know that according to Ephesians 2 and 8, by grace we are saved through faith. See, salvation is not of us. We did nothing to earn it except believed by faith in the gift that God so lovingly and mercifully bestowed upon us. It's a gift. It's the gift of God. This is what he has given to us. Salvation is the gift of God. Hallelujah. So being born again and saved by God's grace makes us a whole new species of being. For Romans 2:14 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we are in Christ, a new creation, made by God's hands, birthed out of the Spirit. Even our Lord praying to the Father for his disciples then and us now, whom he calls his friends, he says to the Father, I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That's John chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. Well, I hear you say, well, aren't we sent to the world, Sister Shirley? Aren't we, as Christ-like, sent to impact the world in which we live? Aren't we sent to intermingle with people of the world in order to tell them about the goodness of the Lord and about his mighty saving grace, that he has come to save the lost, that he didn't come for the well but for the sick? Sister Shirley, didn't Jesus command us to fulfill the Great Commission according to Mark 16 and 15? That says, go ye into all the world. This is Jesus commanding us, commissioning us, and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, the answer to all of those questions, my brothers and sisters, is yes, yes, and yes. Amen. Jesus said that. He taught that's our commission. But here's the problem we run into. When Jesus commissioned us to go into the world and impact it, for the kingdom, affected with the good news, impacted with the good news, he didn't say, let the world get in us. He said for us to go into the world, preaching or living as a believer, as a witness unto him, meaning to let our light shine in the midst of darkness. Come on, Holy Spirit, help me, Lord. Let's get into the word. Let's get into the word. Turn with me, if you will, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14. We're going to shed some light on this subject. We're preaching from the subject, Lord, hook me up. Lord, I need a hookup. I need a hookup. And you'll get the meaning of that. It'll click in a minute. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14, the subject is, be not unequally yoked. Verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you want a Holy Ghost hookup? How many of you want the Lord to hook you up? Paul here in this particular text is talking. This is a letter he has written to, the second letter, as a matter of fact, he has written to the church at Corinth. And when I say church, I mean believers, because the church had not been established yet, like a physical place. But the believers were there. There were believers in Jesus Christ, converts in that area. And just to give you a little history on Corinth, briefly, I want you to imagine, or think about New York or Miami or Los Angeles. Corinth was a metropolitan city. It was a port city, meaning that ships came and went. So you have a lot of people from different nationalities and from different customs and backgrounds constantly coming and going. And some of them, of course, setting up residence there. So you have all kinds of beliefs and customs and all of those, that type of stuff going on in Corinth. And you have, God has placed or has believers there, believers in his son, believers in Jesus Christ who are surrounded, who are actually the minority versus being the majority. So the majority of the people that are around them are unbelievers. And so Paul is admonishing them, hallelujah, the believers, that they are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Hallelujah. See, in that city, you had the temple of the goddess Aphrodite, the Greek goddess Aphrodite, and people worshiped this goddess. They worshiped her. She was a false god. Hallelujah. They had idols set up for her, and this is what the people worshiped. And there was one thing in particular, according to history, that the people did. Okay, she had priests who worked in her temple, but they weren't priests. They were priest prostitutes, meaning that all of the travelers who came through could go to the temple of Aphrodite, and the priests who worked in the temple had sex with the visitors. They had sex in the temple. Stay with me now. Hallelujah. So this is what Paul is admonishing the believers. Do not join yourself with these people. Do not be yoked up with these people because they are unbelievers. They don't believe as you believe. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. So that's what I want to talk about tonight specifically, to break it down. I want to talk about a yoke. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? What does it mean? First of all, what is a yoke? A yoke is a device, it's equipment, it's also a procedure or an implementation or a tool used to join animals together to pull a load or a plow. That's what a yoke is. You know, you've seen the oxen with the yoke around them. They're joined together. You have two oxen side by side. They're yoked or joined together by this instrument that they're harnessed in. So it is a device, equipment, or something used to pair up animals. And the key word here is pair, that these animals have to be equal in size, equal in strength, because if they are not equal, then it throws the balance off. It throws the work that they are trying to accomplish off. It can't get done. It won't get done if they are not equally paired. So they pair these animals up with this yoke, this equipment, this harness, this device, for the sole reason that they work together. See, the yoke is often used in Scripture to express the symbolism of having two people who are similar in capacity so that they can both work together. So it's basically talking about unity, working together, unity. So from this we know that a yoke can be good or bad. So what does it mean really to be unequally yoked, spiritually speaking? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Greek, hallelujah, and this is the context that's used in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, the word yoke, as Paul uses it here, he uses it in a negative connotation. So in the Greek, the word yoke means an association, a relationship, but it's a certain kind of association or relationship. is an association or to associate discordantly. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. So what does discordantly mean? It means disagreeing with what is accepted. In other words, it means somebody is going against the grain. Let me give you a better example. It's like a piano note that clashes with the other music during a concert. You're sitting in a concert, the orchestra is playing, but something is off. Something is out of tune. Something is off balance. Or something is out of sync is what it is. Hallelujah. So that word discordant, we know that the root word of discordantly is discord. Discord. Now that's if we go to the word, God says that discord is an abomination. It's one of the seven things that God hates. According to Proverbs 6:9, he that soweth discord among brethren. Discord. That word means a contest. It means a competition or a quarrel or brawling, contention, and strife. Discord. So what is Paul saying? To be unequally yoked means do not be joined together with someone who is different, altered in some kind of way, or strange. Do not be joined together with someone other than who you are, different than who you are, or someone who is strange. You know, the Bible talks about strange women, okay? And as we said, God hates discord. He hates discord. He hates discord. And that's what being yoked up with someone who is different than you are, strange, or someone who is on a whole other page. It creates discord, and it's an abomination to the Lord, as we said before. And we know that sin is a deal breaker between us and the Lord. But let's go deeper, because I want to get to where I'm going. Paul takes us to a route so that we could understand who we are already in Christ. This is who we are. We are believers. We are God's people. We are God's children. Hallelujah. We are the ones who not only name the name of Christ, but we also live the life of Christ. So we understand that we cannot hold hands with God and with the devil too. So let's unpack these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. 6:14 says, what communion have light with darkness? In other words, how can light live with darkness? Well, you know, they are contrary to one another. They cannot coexist. They cannot coexist. So Paul is saying, do not be closely associated with unbelievers or people who walk in darkness. Do not be bosom buddies. Do not be homies. Do not be girls. Oh, that's my girl. Come on, somebody. We're waiting for the Holy Ghost hookup. I don't know about you, but I want a Holy Ghost hookup with my relationships. We want God to hook us up. We want to get out of trying to do it ourselves. We need to walk in the Spirit as he is in the Spirit, and then we will know all things. Hallelujah. So in the text, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that who we are joined to or hooked up with and connected to is very critical as a believer and in our walk with Christ. For he admonishes us, do not be unequally yoked with non-believers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And I love the way the Living Bible puts it. It says, do not be teamed or partnered with those who do not love the Lord. But what do the people of God have in common with the people of sin?
Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. This is a universal principle, because being unequally yoked flows over into every association or relationship we have, be it marriage, children, family, or business relationships. Hallelujah. We got to know who we hooked up with, people of God. We've got to know, sisters and brothers. I'm like the Living Translation. I really love this Bible. It makes it just so plain. It uses the word partnership. Well, the root word to partnership is partner. And a partner is a person who takes part in an undertaking with another or others, especially in business, or in a company with shared risk and profits. In other words, two or more people with shared interests and likes. But how many of us pull people in our lives, into our lives, who don't think like we think, that don't have the beliefs that we have, but we have this innate ability in us where we want to be loved, we want to be liked, we want to fit in, we want to be a part of the crew or a part of the clique. No, we don't. God has separated us unto ourselves. That's why our relationships, we have to, in a sense, look at them and like with a fine-tooth comb. See, I'm no longer the old Shirley. I'm a new creation now. Old things have passed away. I don't hang out where I used to hang out. I don't do the things that I used to do. I'm not saying that I can't fellowship or conversate with people that I used to know back then or when I was in that old lifestyle. That's not what God is saying, because remember, Jesus, he walked amongst sinners. He walked amongst sinners because he was trying to change their way of thinking. And when you change your thinking, your life can change or will change. He was trying to get what was in him into them. But how many of us get the wrong people, a lot of wrong people in our space and in our environment? And if we're not careful, we'll tend to take on their way of life. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Spirit. Instead of us impacting their lives for the better, for the kingdom, their lives are impacting us. And then we find ourselves out there doing things that we used to do. Well, we don't do those things anymore. So that's why we've got to be rooted and grounded in the truth. We've got to be rooted and grounded in the word of God. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Spirit. So that when we show up on the scene, that our influence, the influence of the Holy Spirit, will take over. Hallelujah. We don't cram the word down anybody's throat, but they ought to see a change in us. And they ought to have a respect for the lifestyle that we now live. Because how many of you know that this is a lifestyle? This is a way of life, of living, fasting, praying, studying, reading, helping, loving, showing mercy and compassion. That is a lifestyle. Jesus set the pace. He set the tone. He set the standard. And that's why we cannot go against the grain. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we've got to stay in Christ. We've got to allow him to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to do the work in us that needs to be done. Amos 3:3 puts it this way. How can two walk together except they be agreed or in agreement? Hallelujah. The Living Translation says, "For how can we walk together with your sins between us?" See, sin is a deal breaker. Sin gets in the way of love. It gets in the way of what God is trying to do in our lives. So we have to separate ourselves from that type of behavior or lifestyle. In the name of Jesus, see, the Lord commanded Moses to tell the sons of Israel in Leviticus 18:3, do not act like the people in Egypt. See, we're no longer in Egypt. He's brought us out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Spirit. He said where you used to live. See, I don't live there anymore. I'm not a resident of Egypt anymore. It doesn't make me better than, but it makes me better off. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Then he says, or like the people in Canaan. So what he's saying is,
Don't act where you came from, and then where I'm taking you, don't act like they act. Don't pick up their ways. Don't pick up their customs. That's the promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You can have the good of the land, the fat of the land, but I demand and command you not to take on the customs and the ways of the people who are there. I'm preaching to somebody. Hallelujah. You must not imitate their way of life is what God said in Leviticus 18:3. See, God has separated us unto himself for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. It is he who wills in us to do his good pleasure. He has promised to bless us and do us no harm and to bring us to an expected end. That's in Jeremiah. So the thought is, why is it so hard, God, to stay in this type of lifestyle? Why am I not progressing? Why am I not seeing God's promises fulfilled? Those may be your questions. Well, the Lord is saying to examine yourself. He's saying, who are you yoked up with? Who are you connected to? Remember, Jesus had to rebuke the spirit that was on Peter when he spoke contrary to God's will for Jesus' life. That's in Mark 8:33. Jesus knew who that spirit really was. It was the spirit of Satan. It was the Antichrist spirit. Hallelujah. See, Peter was Jesus' most devoted disciple, but when he allowed his emotions to take over, the Lord had to put him in check. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Spirit. See, we are the Lord's workmanship. We are workers in our Father's vineyard. Remember that a yoke is something that joins two animals or people together so they can get the job done. But it's impossible to put a cow with a poodle. Did you get that? It's impossible to put a yoke on a cow and hook it up with a poodle. No, that's not going to work. It'll never work because they are unequally yoked. Can you imagine a cow and a poodle trying to get a job done? It's not going to happen. But there is a yoke, brothers and sisters, we all should desire, we all should want and be in pursuit of. It is the yoke of the Lord. Yes, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus has a yoke. He has a yoke. And if I have to work, if I have to be yoked up, Lord, I'm saying let it be with you. And the Lord desires to give us his yoke. He desires us to be joined with him. He desires us to be hooked up with him. That's why he died. Hallelujah. He died to remove our sins so that we could take upon ourselves the yoke of the Lord and to stay connected to him. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means heavily loaded, weighed down with burdens and cares, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I want to read this from the Living Translation, hallelujah, and it says, come to me, and I will give you rest. All of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke, the do's and the don'ts of the law, put on you by man, tradition, religion, I want to take that off of you. And I'm just paraphrasing this part, but that's in the history of it, the study of it, that's what he's talking about. He wanted to remove off the people the yoke of bondage that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the law had put on them, all those 600 and something rules and regulations that man couldn't keep and couldn't follow. Hallelujah. And he says, wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly, and let me teach you. I want to stop right there. The Lord is our teacher by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is going to lead and guide us by the power of his Holy Spirit. He's saying, I will teach you. Hebrews says the same thing. In that day, no man will have to teach you. I will teach you. Hallelujah. For I am gentle and humble. Gentle and humble. Gentle and humble. Excuse me. If you got somebody, a leader who's not gentle and humble like the Lord is, then you really need to get out of there, because the Lord does not come to tear us down. The Lord does not take his rod and beat us senseless. The Lord does not, he does not allow the wolf to get us. The Lord is our shepherd. Hallelujah. And shepherd means to care for, to love, to provide for. Hallelujah. And he says, and you shall find rest for your souls, for I give you light burdens. Light burdens. I don't put heavy burdens on you. I don't put more on you than you can bear, the Lord says. See, I don't know about you, but I work, but to work without benefits. Hear what I'm saying. To work without benefits is hard labor. Who wants to work and don't get no benefits after you've worked? The devil is a lie. The psalmist says, what shall I render or give unto the Lord for all his many benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's Psalms 116, verses 12 and 13. So the question is, who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? Do you both share the load? Who are you yoked up with? Who are you connected to? Are you both in sync? Are you both headed in the same direction? Are you headed in the same direction? Do you share common interests and likes? Are you like-minded? Meaning, do you have the same love for one another? Are you one in the spirit? And are you of one mind? Paul is asking this question to the church of Philippi. That's Philippians 2 and 2. Who are you hooked up with? Who are you yoked up with? Hallelujah. Are you hooked up with the Lord? He said, I'll make your burdens light. I won't put more on you than you can bear. Are you hooked up with the world? Are you hooked up with the world? You can't get enough. You can't do enough. You can't have enough. That's tiresome. The more you get, the more you want. That's tiresome. That's a spirit of greed and lasciviousness, which is just an over-exaggeration of want and desire. Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I find myself in. Hallelujah. God wants to take us places. But God can't take us anywhere if we're weighed down, if we're hooked up with the wrong spirits. God has a plan for our lives. It's a glorious plan. He has a destiny for each and every last one of us. So the message is, who are you hooked up with? Are you hooked up with the Lord? Do you find yourself digressing instead of progressing? God is a God of increase. God wants to bless every area of our lives. Hallelujah. But God cannot bless mess. He cannot bless mess. I love what the Message Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6. It says, one moment, we're eating at the Lord's banquet, and the next moment, we're slumming with the devil. See, God is up here. We hear one moment, but then we turn around and we slum with the devil. Well, how do we slum with the devil? Through our thoughts and our actions. But we can ride upon the high places in life. We have an inheritance from God, and the Lord wants to use us. He wants to yoke us with him. Isn't that beautiful that he loves us so much and he desires to be connected with us, that we be connected with him? Hallelujah. He wants to dwell in us and be with us and make his abode with us. Hallelujah. So I'm saying to you, my brother, my sister,
If you feel as if you're not gaining ground or you're not as far as you know you ought to be, just examine your associations and relationships. Are you still, through friends and relations, hanging out or indulging in the world? It's time for us to get off the milk and desire the meat. Hallelujah. It's time for us to chew on some stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God wants to take us somewhere. He wants to use every able and willing vessel in this hour. In this hour, time is ticking away, and time waits for no man. So get on your grind. Desire, it's going to be God's way or no way. And remember what Jesus said, we can't put anybody over him. I don't care who it is. If they are living for the world, we cannot have them in our bosom. All we can do is pray for them. I don't care who it is, mama, daddy, sister, brother, child, daughter, son, doesn't matter. Once we have made Christ our Lord and our head, our master, our lives belong to him. He said he didn't come to bring peace to the earth. He came to bring a sword. And we know a sword cuts things. So he's going to have to cut away some stuff. But it's for our good. It's for our good because we're going somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.